Welcome to the Bureau Briefing. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. They are amazing. Thank you to MailChimp. If you need a marketing platform, MailChimp is so much more than just email. They help you with Facebook ads, with Google ads. You just got to check them out. And the way that you can slice and dice the campaigns, it's beautiful. 10,000 feet. You know, if you need insights into your projects and your people, 10,000 feet is the resourcing tool that can help you with that. And also, gather content. Content is always the thing that drags every project down. But when you use Gather Content, you can get a handle on it. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. I have to tell you, I've done a lot of intros, 73, maybe 74, I don't know. But what I do know is this one makes me laugh. So swinging by the Bureau Studios today, it's a design leader at Comcast, a starting writer, an amateur dad, and the king of one-liners. It's Mr. Scott Welliver. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm pretty good, man. I like that. I like that.
You should. You wrote it.
I did.
So I love that I'm taking credit, but with the exception of switching bearded dad for amateur dad, because that was one of my favorite things when I was, you know, getting to know you better. And when I went online, I was reading some of your stuff and I saw amateur dad. I was like, aren't we all?
For real. I mean, like, we all act like we're professionals, but we're totally amateurs.
We have no idea. So tell everybody listening a little bit of your background and what you're doing today.
Sure thing. So on the dad part, my wife and I are proud parents of three kids. Got a 12-year-old Chase, an 11-year-old Savannah, and a 7-year-old Hope. Hope is actually new to our family. We recently adopted her from India it's coming up on 2 years. So that's like our little home component. I've been a designer for, I don't know, many years, I guess. And I sort of can triangulate and map basically my career timeline to my timeline to being a dad. So the professional life of a designer has been about the same as being a dad. So 12 years in, maybe a little more on the designer side. And right now I'm leading a team here at Comcast, working on a product called Xfinity Stream, which is the mobile and web and smart TV and Roku version of what you often understand as cable TV. So we're breaking it out of the TV, off your wall, basically, and putting it in your pocket and letting you take it anywhere. So it's been a real journey and a joy to be a part of this team that I got here at Comcast.
Well, and congratulations for cutting the cable. I think You know what I'm saying. You did good there.
It's controversial, I'll say that. I mean, even within the building here, it's pretty controversial.
Wait, were you doing what?
No. What did we decide to do? I don't think we should do that. That's kind of our business. But the thing of the matter is, you know, we actually, the group that I get to be a part of, even the development team, the product team, the business teams, the whole group, it is sort of countercultural, but might be countercultural to what we've been as Comcast doing for the last 50 or 60 years. But, you know, outside pressures are making us think about things differently. And so we are thinking about things differently. And I'm really happy to be part of that kind of new era of thinking.
Well, you know, I think it's a requirement for you to be happy in your job, for you personally to be happy in your job, to have that ability to kind of learn and change and continue to develop. And I think
that's the
same thing with being a dad.
Oh, yeah.
I tell my girls every year on their birthday, I'll be like, you know, and they're 17 and 15 now. I don't think they appreciate it quite so much. But it used to be like, so what's it like being 8? All right, you know, what's it like being 44? I don't know. Yeah, those were good days, though.
You answer that question? That's a tough question to answer.
It is a tough question, but I would do my best. So tell me, what got you motivated
to not only start thinking about, but to write about the connection between being a dad and being a UX designer?
It's sort of, I don't really have a lot of good stories in either place, like in either context.
Well, so, this would like, be a great episode then. This would be amazing.
I mean, we're making it now. I don't have a lot of great stories of, you know, when I come to work and I want to describe maybe a pain or a situation or like a customer pain point, I should say, or a design situation or problem, I almost always contextualize it with this. It feels like I'm contextualizing it with the stuff that I came from home with. So like, and maybe this is just more emblematic or symptomatic of our modern culture where we're kind of bleeding both work and like life stuff at all times. But likewise, it goes home. I'm like, okay, cool. So we have a problem here with the kid on the floor. I read about the story how I was changing my son's diaper when he was a baby and he exploded out of the diaper, like a poo explosion. Oh, and I was all cavalier about stuff. And I was just kind of like, I'll do my own thing. But in doing my own thing, I actually put him on the floor of my sister-in-law's house. And of course the poo explosion goes everywhere. But like, if it had been on like a normal baby changing device, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. Or if I had listened to my wife, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. Or if I did the right thing earlier, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. And all of those things are like mapped back to what I do on a day-to-day basis. If we're really like, in some way, design can be extremely prideful or proud, or we have to like puff our chest up because we need to know or have like need to know the right answers or assume to know the right answers. But we don't do enough of like listening to the customer. Sometimes we don't necessarily do enough like actual inquiry of what the problem is, or like settling in on what the problem is, and then just kind of like formulating responses that make sense to the problem instead of just formulating cool solutions. And so they start to like mirror each other. Like we're really in the same cycles of like, of put it out there, test it, and come back and iterate on it. Same thing as with parenting. Like if I did anything out of a book, like a playbook for parenting, it would not go as all the dynamic changes are happening with like what my kid is doing. just yesterday, in fact, we were teaching the little one how to ride a bike. Or she can ride a bike with training wheels, but taking the training wheels off.
Right.
And we actually tried the same thing last summer around the same time. And it was like an utter disaster. But, you know, again, frustrated. She's frustrated. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated. My wife's frustrated. But like it takes that year of like learning or teaching, also even showing her where balance is and what balance means. All those things start to come together and bear in on what I think design is like. Doing the work of design is like coming forward and rendering intent, as Jared Spool will say, a rendering intent, but you got to learn a lot in order to render that intent.
Well, and I mean, so we were talking before the episode and I said, you know, I've always compared running a business to being a dad. And with your example right there of riding the bike, I remember when my oldest, we were trying to teach her to ride a bike. My wife could not even stay outside with us.
Yeah.
Right. Cause she could see it on my face. I was like forcing the smile. I was trying all these things. And my daughter was just like, I can't do this. And then maybe a few minutes later, we decided not to try again. And I went and just started shooting hoops. Right. I'm there in the driveway shooting baskets. It's not a beautiful thing to watch. I'm not the best. And all of a sudden, here comes my daughter down the driveway on the bike. And I'm like, hey, watch where you're riding. You're riding your bike. Oh, my God.
Right.
And you realize that, you know, sometimes you have to get out of the way.
Definitely. Right? I think we are in the way of ourselves in both places, the parenting and maybe even the professional life. And I think a lot of, for me, especially in design, we can come to problems fairly egotistically. Like one of the big things I've been recently hammering on here is making decisions. Like I think we, myself, the designers, even the developer and product teams, we may be like the worst examples of the typical customer that we're serving and designing and making for. Right. We do use our own stuff. Like we're a consumer product that consumers use. I'm a video consumer. I watched Better Call Saul on the Xfinity Stream app last night. And that's cool. And but I can't come into work and be like, hey, well, this is the way I use it. Therefore, everyone else uses it that way. And in some manner, like that's the same way with like parenting too. Like I've got three unique kids. You got two. They didn't come, they don't learn the same patterns in the same way as the last one did. And we have to keep constantly working to adjust ourselves and like removing the ego out of it so that we can actually center in on the people who are involved with whatever situation it is, especially in parenting.
Well, yeah. And the one thing that's definitely true is them being kids is not going to be the same experience as when you were a kid.
No way, man. Right?
It's just not, that is not going to happen. I love this example of changing the diaper because I'm sitting here thinking of, okay, so your wife is the customer and your kid is the product.
Yeah, right, right. And or the containment of the poo is the product, maybe. I don't know.
Well, no, I think the poo going everywhere was showing that you didn't understand how to develop the product.
That's true, right.
Because you didn't listen. So when you're talking with your kids, right, and you've got three very different kids, right, especially with Hope.
Yeah.
How do you talk with them in a way so that they get along together? And I'm just curious, is that something that translates to the way you talk to your team?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question and something I really dwell. I hope to write about this in the future, but like it comes to bear around like having common values. And like there are common values that we have in our family. Like one of them is like we want to have experiences over things. And yeah. So what that means is we'll like choose to play video. Or we'll choose to not watch videos or whatever, be on our devices at night when we're together and play card games. Like right now we're way into like Farkle, a dice game called Farkle and a card game called Sevens. It's like something we're just doing to wrap up the night, 30 minutes of just connecting time. But like, so that's like a value and how that's expressed though for each age group or age person or even kid and their mm-hmm. dynamics. Like we have to adjust a little bit for Hope for almost everything. We have to adjust, because of her like language, learning the language, her, she has dwarfism, a form of dwarfism called achondroplasia. And so she's, pretty small for a 7-year-old. She's about the size of a 3-year-old. And so all those things at play, and she's recently new to our family. She's like learning the American culture. We're like, you know, we want to make sure that we meet her where she's at. And I think that's true. Maybe not so much on the design side, but on the leadership side, like my team here, we have common values. Like one of our common values for work is like everything is an experiment. Now that works cool for some of the guys that are open to change or open to like, yeah, like I can ride on that. But for those who like need to get a groove and stay in a groove and have like consistency and like it's not repetitiveness, but it's more like that they can feel safe that the plan that that Scott's like proposing here or the team or even the company's proposing will last longer than, you know, 5 seconds. So while everything's an experiment, there needs to be some level of emotional safety or even like mental and workspace safety. So the way that I kind of like do it in both places is like keep repeating the values and then meeting each individual to where they're at, which is sort of like saying, we're all common together, but you're unique. And I want to meet you where you're at. And I want you to meet that value from where you're coming from. If that makes sense.
No, it makes amazing sense. And I realized that I don't have a rewind button or I would take my family back to the beginning and we'd start over. But no, Scott,
yeah.
I don't have that ability. So thanks for really helping man, me here on the dad front.
I'm going to like put this on the podcast. I think the family makes it, the reason I think our family is cool is because of my wife. She's super intentional
And
she raises the bar for me as a parent for our kids. And honestly, I can translate that to work. Like I want to partner with people who will help me raise my game in some way. There's a buddy of mine here at work. He and I joined the company around the same time. And we're always, it's not a competition, but we're always trying to help the other person become better at who they are. Sort of like a person on the side that you didn't have. You're not like competing with them and you're not leading them, but they're just encouraging me along the way.
Right.
And that guy, you know, helps me raise my work game. And I need that.
So this is interesting. I'm thinking about, you know, what you've learned at home and how it applies to work. And I remember when I first heard about stand-ups, right? Like a decade ago or whatever. I remember going home and we play card games. We do stuff like that. You know, once my kids got to be teenagers, then suddenly it was over.
Oh, dude, I know. That's this thing I'm talking about. It's like going away soon.
Get ready. It's going to happen. You're going to go from the world's greatest human being to what is he talking about?
A depressive shell of himself.
So fast, from a god to an idiot. It's an amazing switch.
Planning on it.
But just ride the wave, because he'll still be nice to you.
Yeah, cool.
But when I got home that night, I remember thinking, how can I apply the idea of a stand-up, right? And so we did this thing called best, worst, funniest.
Mm-hmm.
And because we didn't want to end on worst, but we would basically go around the table at dinner and say, okay, what was the best thing that happened to you today?
Oh, that's great.
And everybody would do it. And then what was the worst? And then what was the funniest? And then it was almost always my youngest daughter would say, my funniest moment was hearing my oldest daughter talk about her worst moment. She goes, when she shared that, I thought, you are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But it was so great.
Oh, I love that. I'm stealing that one, man. I mean, why not? We do stand-ups here all the time.
Take it. And you know
what? We
do that at work. Yeah.
Right. I mean, for us, like winding down at night is that kind of stand. Maybe it's stand down at night. I don't know. Like, so we do have those conversations, kind of talk a little bit about the day and, you know, what happened and how best we could kind of sort of take the next day. And who can we be thinking about? Who can we be praying for? And those things are sort of in our like mindsets at night. I think that's great, man. I'm going to steal it. Make sure we keep doing that on a regular basis.
Hey, and we're not using it anymore. So feel free.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right.
It'd be great.
I'm going to use it while I can.
So what about when things go wrong? Like when something's just out of sync, and what I love about what you're talking about with your family is that obviously you're doing things together.
Yeah.
But say that Chase really acts up.
Right.
You know, how do you address that as a family?
That's like the part, this is the part why I kind of can't stand like social media. And, I mean, I love it, but like everything on social media is like a highlight reel.
Yeah.
And we don't really take pictures of our low lights and post them and say, hey, look, like I totally failed as a dad. They yelled at my kid for no good reason. you know, like we don't do that. We should, though, maybe to balance it out.
Oh, man.
But it is something for sure that like I think it's the same kind of input, you know, like leaning back on your values. There definitely are days at the end of the day in both places, you know, work and at home, where I kind of like, okay, you didn't act with integrity. You weren't really fair with the comment that you made about someone's design, or you talked over somebody, you mansplained, whatever it was. And in the same regard goes at home. Like, you know, the end of the day is not an awesome time for me because I'm like spent, and I'm always the guy like, okay, kids, to bed, everyone to get to bed. And they're still wanting to connect still. They're still wanting to talk, and they're not even being bad about it. They just want to talk.
Yeah.
But I'm like, come on, everybody get up out of the couch and go to bed. And so for me, it's kind of the reflective point is to say like, okay, today was today. I did the best I could today. You did a little bit of retro, right? Like what went well, what didn't go so well? What are we going to do next time? And any blockers, but forget the blockers. It's like, what am I going to do next time? And I make like a lot of personal notes about like, okay, this is the situation that you're in. What are you going to adjust and change? And in some regard, one of the quotes that I've been thinking a lot about is like, whatever anyone says about you or whatever you think about yourself is probably not as bad as you think it is. you're probably doing better than you think you are. And that's not to give me like extra ego. It's actually more to like help me in those moments where I'm like feeling really down about my responses or my or even the situations that I'm in. And for Michelle and I, my wife and I, we have hit peaks and we've definitely hit valleys. And for us to always remember like how it felt or what we got, what took us to that peak is important when you're down at the valley and you say, okay, cool. Like I didn't really treat Chase well, or I didn't really manage that conflict very well. But for us, like we want to talk about that stuff really specifically. So I guess I'm kind of coming around to say, being really intentional about that conversation with our children, with the people I work with, whoever, that our relationships are clear by the end of the day as best as we can, and make sure that nothing's left unsaid. So one of our lines that we say a lot is like, you said, whenever you have conflict and you're trying to resolve it, you probably say about 95% of it you want to, but there's a 5% of holdback that is either what you wish you could say if you weren't super heated in the moment, or what you know, what you needed to say if you were a little more rational in the moment. And that's the stuff that sometimes just gets stuck on the table, stuck in your head, and in some ways like can take you in weird places. And for our family, we've just been intentional to make sure that we get to say the last 5%, and that our kids too are invited to say the whole thing so that they can also be heard. So I bring that to work too, man. Like I don't know who wrote this. So I'm not trying to steal their thunder on it, but the question, like one-on-one questions, they always end with what else? And then they keep saying, and what else, until your counterpart, the person on the other side of the desk, doesn't have anything else to say, but keep inviting them to say, like, there's probably something you're holding onto that if you don't say, I won't know, and then you won't feel good. So that's the kind of stuff that we like to do in our family. I bring it to work too.
Well, I think this idea of one-on-ones is great, yeah, especially with the family, right? And I had a friend who told me once that he does this thing with his wife called drive-by. Uh-huh. Or maybe it's drive-in. I'm not sure. Anyway,
drive something.
I'm not really good at listening. But basically, they each get a few minutes just to say exactly what they want. And then the other person gets a few minutes to say exactly, like, you know what, this morning, I don't know what was up with you with the coffee. Like, I didn't mean to take the last of the coffee. I thought you put your cup up. I thought you were done.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I wish you would have just asked me. I mean, can't you just ask me? You
know, yeah, just little
things. Cause when you're in a relationship for a long time, and the big difference between work and home is, you know, you can't fire Savannah.
No.
Hey,
right.
Where's Savannah? We had to let her go.
Yeah.
Just the bike thing wasn't working out.
It's not doing a thing for me. I'm done. Nah. You're with them for the long haul.
Yeah, which is how you want to be with your team as well.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Savannah's also not going to find another family she wants to move to.
Yep.
So you know, these things happen as well. But I'm curious, when you're with your team, mm-hmm. do you ever mention that these similarities between how you are as a dad and how you are as a leader?
I'm so bad at keeping secrets from both sides. Like, I just, you know, I think my team knows more about my family than most teams do, 'cause I just talk about it a lot, or like it's my context, and then vice versa. Like, I'm pretty sure my kids know some of these guys who they've never met before.
Right.
And in some ways, some of the guys, one of our team members, Juan, joined about the same time that I did. And he's just kind of like a crazy story of like the American dream. Like, he emigrated to the U.S. from the Dominican Republic a couple years ago, got a citizenship. And while we knew him, he helped bring his mom to the U.S. from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, wow.
And he bought his first house. Like, it's like a crazy, crazy, good, heartwarming story. And my kids are invested in it, and they ask about him, and they whatever. And like, likewise with Juan, like, he's way invested in my family. We don't hang out after work a lot. Sometimes we do, but in both cases, like, I see the way that I'm investing in both places affecting both places for good and for the right kind of connections. And I need that for my family. Like, for sure, I need my kids to have experiences with adults that are normal, that mm-hmm. Are different than their parents, so that they have like a broader sense of the world. And then likewise for some of my team members, most of my team members don't have kids. Some of them do. But I remember being in college, and I went to Penn State, walking the streets of Penn State, and you'd only see people your age, and then you go home and you hang with your nephew or your cousins or whatever, your family, and you actually like see kids at different ages, or you like had friends that have younger kids. Like, that was weird. Like, we never got to hang with families. And I think in some way, it's hard for me to really separate the two places is really where I started at. It's hard for me to separate Scott from the two, from work and from family. And I think they're better for both.
Yeah. And as somebody watching from the outside, I just want to say you have got to keep writing about this because it's really inspirational. And I know you're going to deflect that.
Thanks, man.
But there you go. All you have to do is say thanks. I'm learning too.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
But I appreciate you swinging by today and sharing the way that you approach work and the way that you approach your family and life. I think it's been great. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate you and the way that you, you know, make me think about things, make us all think about things and kind of connect dots for things that I didn't even connect dots for all the time.
There you go. Well, everybody listening, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then.